In a forgotten corner of Britain, a place lost between the reign of King Cole and the coming of Arthur, lies the Little Kingdom. Here, in the village of Ham, lives a farmer named Giles. He's no hero from ancient legends, just a grumpy, practical man who tends his fields, minds his business, and occasionally grumbles about his neighbors. His dog Garm is equally ordinary, prone to exaggeration, and easily excited. Nothing about Giles suggests greatness. He has no special talents, no magical abilities, and absolutely no interest in adventures. His worth is measured by how well he tends his fields, not by feats of daring. But fate has a peculiar sense of humor. One night, a remarkably dim-witted giant stumbles into the vicinity of Ham. This enormous figure isn't malicious, just oblivious, trampling crops and causing havoc simply because he doesn't notice what's beneath his feet. When the giant approaches Giles's farm, our reluctant hero happens to have his blunderbuss at hand. One startled shot later, and the confused giant flees, believing himself attacked by particularly vicious insects. Just like that, ordinary Giles finds himself celebrated throughout the village. With each retelling, his accidental encounter transforms into a tale of deliberate courage. The gap between what actually happened and what people believe has opened, and through this gap, legends are born. Unlike the bumbling giant, Chrysophylax Divus presents a calculated challenge. His name, Gold Guardian Wealthy, reveals his motivation. This dragon terrorizes the countryside purposefully, targeting the richest farms and most valuable livestock with business-like efficiency. Chrysophylax is both fearsome predator and sophisticated conversationalist, capable of fear, negotiation, and a twisted sense of honor, equally comfortable incinerating sheep or engaging in complex verbal bargaining. When news of the dragon's attacks reaches the king's court, the monarch naturally thinks of the giant killer from Ham. Based entirely on his inflated reputation, Giles receives a royal summons he cannot refuse, along with the ancient sword Tailbiter, a legendary weapon that responds to his touch despite his common blood. The stage is set for a confrontation between the most reluctant hero imaginable and a dragon who takes his treasure very seriously. A meeting that will forever change both their lives and the very structure of the Little Kingdom. When commanded to confront Chrysophylax, Giles approaches his quest like a man headed to execution. He delays, makes excuses, and when finally forced to depart, travels at the slowest possible pace. His companions, 12 likely lads from the village, share his reluctance, forming perhaps the least heroic quest party in literary history. Their journey becomes a masterclass in procrastination. They take the most indirect route, stopping at every village for rest and refreshment. Yet ironically, this reluctance serves Giles well, for as they dawdle, his reputation races ahead. Tales of the mighty dragon slayer spread far and wide, growing more impressive with each retelling. When they finally meet, the dragon hesitates, made cautious by Giles's outsized reputation and the ancient sword Tailbiter that glows in his presence. Rather than attempting to slay the beast, Giles negotiates, leveraging his unexpected advantages to secure both his safety and a portion of the dragon's treasure. This represents a different kind of heroism, not glory-seeking bravery, but practical problem-solving from a man who understands his limitations and works within them. Unlike typical fantasy, where treasure symbolizes victory, dragon-taming economics proves surprisingly complex. The negotiations between Giles and Chrysophylax represent a sophisticated transaction with both parties seeking maximum advantage. When Giles returns with Chrysophylax, bound by oath to deliver treasure, power dynamics shift dramatically. The king, who merely lent a sword, demands most of the treasure, while Giles, who faced actual danger and secured wealth through wit, naturally disagrees. This conflict highlights questions about who deserves the fruits of labor and risk. When the king's knights attempt to seize the treasure by force, they face not just an angry farmer, but a dragon bound by oath to Giles alone. The standoff transforms Ham into Tame, without an H, despite scholarly protests, the chief town of a new realm. Giles uses his wealth to build a magnificent hall, equip men-at-arms, and create a power base challenging royal authority. Even Chrysaphylax's identity transforms through this economic shift. His captivity, creating an existential crisis, only resolved upon returning to his mountain lair. Giles' transformation from farmer to King Aegidius Draconarius represents the tale's most dramatic reversal. The commoner becomes ruler, practical wisdom trumps aristocratic privilege, and a dragon tamer establishes a merit-based order. Yet Giles retains his essential qualities throughout. His royal court blends elevation with authenticity, favoring the vulgar tongue over book Latin. His creation of the Worm Wardens, a new knighthood with the dragon emblem, shows his understanding that new circumstances require new traditions. Queen Agatha grows imposing in stature while maintaining strict control of household accounts. There was no getting round her, as it was a long walk, acknowledging her significant influence. Giles breaks from traditional structures, establishing a court where merit was often rewarded. He elevates supporters, the parson to bishop, blacksmith to undertaker, and miller to royal servant. Throughout his reign, Giles demonstrates that wisdom means applying existing strengths to new circumstances, remaining himself while adapting to changed conditions. The tale concludes with Chrysaphylax's release and return to his mountain lair, bringing the narrative full circle without resorting to simplistic happy endings. The dragon's release is practical. He had grown increasingly expensive to feed, as dragons grow like trees throughout their lives. Their parting with mutual expressions of esteem and a non-aggression pact resembles a diplomatic agreement between nations, elevating their relationship to near equals. Chrysaphylax's return journey reveals how experiences changed him while his essence remains intact. Finding a young usurper in his cave, his response is traditionally draconic, a battle that reportedly echoed throughout Venedotia, followed by devouring his defeated opponent, leaving his humiliation somewhat assuaged. While he respects Giles, he remains fundamentally a dragon with a dragon's pride. The final confrontation with the tall, stupid giant who had started the whole affair provides perfect closure. His confused response, "I thought it was horseflies," highlighting both his dim-wittedness and the extraordinary consequences of his initial mistake. What makes Farmer Giles of Ham so delightful is how it subverts our expectations about heroism. True greatness often emerges from ordinary people applying their existing strengths, practicality, common sense, and self-preservation to extraordinary circumstances. The tale reveals the gap between what actually happened and how legends tell it, showing what societies value in heroes. Yet sometimes, an unvarnished truth, a reluctant farmer succeeding through luck, circumstance, and practical negotiation rather than courage, offers more applicable wisdom than tales of destined heroes. Perhaps we're all like Giles, ordinary people occasionally thrust beyond our comfort zones, relying on practical wisdom. The little kingdom flourished under a farmer who maintained his practical approach to all problems, whether involving crops or dragons. In a world celebrating bold transformation, there's something reassuring about a hero who succeeds by remaining fundamentally himself, even when wearing a crown.